Direct from Fort Meade, Maryland, this is DinFos Live.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of DinFos Live. I'm Major David J. Murphy, a DinFos instructor and your host for today's program. On this month's episode, we'll be talking about DinFos's International Military Student Office and the classes available to students in our international program. Here to help us understand this unique program within the schoolhouse are Mr. Rivers Johnson, International Military Student Officer. Welcome back to the program, sir.
Thank you so much.
And Mr. Steffo Lehman, a Public Affairs for International Students class instructor. Welcome to the program, sir.
Murphy.
Please have a seat. All right, gentlemen, thank you for joining us. I'm sure we're eager to talk about this unique and probably very not well-known program here within the schoolhouse. But before we do, I want to make sure that we let all of you know that if you're interested in asking questions of our guests, please put them in the comments down below, and we might just read them on the air. All right, gentlemen, well, let's go ahead and get started with the questions. First, why don't you go and tell us a little about yourselves and your history with public affairs?
Okay, well, good afternoon. I am Rivers Johnson. I am the DinFos International Military Student Officer. I spent 23 of 30 years in public affairs.
Wow.
At all levels. I was fortunate to work for the White House,
amazing,
Cyber Command, NSA, 6 years at the Pentagon. A lot of my tactical time was at Fort Bragg, now called Fort Liberty, as a public affairs officer jumping out of perfectly good airplanes. This is my third trip to DinFos. I was a student here in 91, an instructor team leader in 98, and then back here as a civilian in 2015.
All right, great. Well, glad to have you back.
Thank you.
Mr. Lehman?
My name is Steffo Lehman. I am a contracted instructor here at DinFos. I come from, born and raised in Vicenza, Italy, where I went to high school at the Vicenza American Military Base.
Nice.
I went to the University of Vermont and then joined the State Department, where I worked in Spain. Then I transitioned to the UN as a press officer at the UN headquarters in New York. And then they sent me to be a press officer in Angola, in Liberia. I spent 4 years as a UN spokesperson in Bosnia-Herzegovina, and was also in Guatemala. And so because of my international experience, I'm very fortunate to be able to be involved in this international program here at DinFos.
That's great. Well, again, thank you both for being here. And I'm eager to talk about the International Military Student Program we have at DinFos. But I couldn't let you leave here without giving a plug for the Hall of Fame program. Can you do that to us, sir?
Major Murphy, it's that time of year for the DinFos Hall of Fame. So nominations are out. The deadline is March the 31st. The DinFos Hall of Fame program is an opportunity for DinFos to recognize and honor those DinFos alumni graduates who have made significant contributions in a variety of areas that include academia, the military, the movie industry. So
wow,
this is their time to be recognized.
Yeah.
Criteria is simply this: they must have 20 years in the business. If they're active duty, then they must have, or were active duty, they must be retired for at least a year.
Yeah.
But again, the significant factor is a significant contribution on behalf of, you know, one of the public affairs areas.
Okay.
And this year's Hall of Fame ceremony is going to be in conjunction with the DinFos 60th anniversary.
Wow.
So we have an alumni the day prior, August the 7th.
And how can people contact you if they have someone they'd like to nominate?
Well, good. Great question. If you have someone to nominate from our audience, go to the DinFos website. The tab at the top, about, on the top left, click that, and then have a link for the DinFos Hall of Fame. And it would explain everything that you need to include how to apply.
And they can also contact you by phone, right?
They can contact me, absolutely. My work phone number is 443-864-9212.
Okay, great. Well, why don't we get into it then? Tell me, what is the mission of the International Military Student Office?
Well, I have a very unique mission, and thank you for this opportunity to highlight the office. So I'd like to explain that I do life cycle management. So my goal is to make sure that international students have all the support they need to operate in this academic environment. My mission also is to support the national security objectives by increasing relationships that lead to partnerships down the road. So again, I handle all the international students coming through. I'm like the subject matter expert for the Commandant on the international program.
Nice, that's great to hear. So how long has this program been around, and ultimately, how did it start?
Well, it's been around for as long as DinFos. And when we talk about starting the program, we have to go all the way back to the State Department.
Okay.
The State Department initiative that's executed by OSD and then the service components. And so one of the key objectives here is increasing capability and capacity for public affairs training for our international students. because we know that DENFOS is the premier training institute for public affairs and audiovisual training. And the goal is to train together to create that common operating picture, you know, building alliances, forging partnerships for future operations. And that's so key. And why not have them start right here at DENFOS?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you mentioned lifecycle management earlier. What are some of your other responsibilities with regard to the program?
Well, great question. So I handle everything, logistics, administrative. So in essence, a lot of the students get paid when they come here. So I have to order the credit cards. I have to make sure they get paid on time. Military ID cards, because they're foreign national, so that's a different process there.
Yeah.
I handle all of the travel arrangements, whether that's getting, you know, having them come here or sending them back. Miscellaneous expenses, the hotel bills. Wow. I do all of that. So again, it goes back to what I said before. Create the conditions for their success, because if they're not getting paid on time, then they're not going to be able to do the academic stuff, because they're going to be worrying about other stuff.
Okay.
So I like to think of myself as the ultimate ambassador.
Yeah.
You know, one of the projects that I have, I always pick my students up at the airport. When they get off the plane, I've got the sign waiting for them, because I want them to have a favorable impression, which is also one of the objectives of the U.S. And so I want them to have a smiling face when they get here, someone that they know and comfortable with.
Yeah, actually, that makes me kind of think of another question specifically. You know, obviously, you meet them at the airport, right? But how far along and how far before they get here are you engaging with them? Like, how long does it take to logistically manage their arrival here? Are we talking months, weeks, days?
Well, normally it's about months, because I've got a website that I monitor. So actually about 3 months, I'll start communicating with the student.
Yeah.
Because we have some prerequisites, some of the training that they need to complete prior to getting here.
Okay.
So I'm in touch with them, whether it's by phone or email or WhatsApp or what have you. So again, about three to six months out, because that's when we get the all-important invitational travel order that has all the particulars that they'll be governed by when they get here.
Okay. So tell me, why is it important that we even have this program in the first place? Why do we have an international program? What does it provide to us?
Well, it goes back to the building those relationships that will assist us in future operations when we talk about capability and capability. Interoperability, you know, all those buzzwords. But more importantly, this is part of our national security strategy.
Right.
Again, building alliances, forging partnerships, because again, when we operate in the future, it will be as a coalition. It just won't be, you know, the U.S. operating. So why not have a common operating picture from the start?
Yeah.
And I often equate this to partnerships lead to things like overflight and basing rights. You know,
right.
If we've got those rights and considerations, then it saves time, money, lives, and things of that nature.
Right.
So it's always important. It goes back to relationships. That's the key. Yeah. Even within public affairs, relationships matter. And why not start here at DENFOS with our international partners?
100%. So obviously other foreign militaries train their military members in public affairs, and we provide a training outlet for foreign militaries to come here. Do other foreign militaries offer similar PA training for American military students who want to go train at their locations?
Well, from my experience, it's been more of operational training.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have had individuals attend NATO courses. You know, I've attended a NATO conference myself and understood how that worked, but primarily a lot of this is operational training. I've had, you know, young men that I've mentored attend the Center for Western Hemisphere Intermediate Level Education, where it's all taught in Spanish. So again, they come here and we, you know, go to their courses as well.
Nice. That sounds great. Talk to me about the types of training that DENFOS offers its international students, because we're going to talk to you, Mr. Lehman, about the one class specifically geared towards international students, but what are the gamut of training offered to international students?
Okay. Well, our website identifies there are 12 courses that, you know, identified for international students to come and participate here in DENFOS. We'd like to look at the public affairs course for international students, which we're going to talk about a little bit later. But we also have the 9-week course, the public affairs communication strategy course.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have the joint contingency course, the joint intermediate course. I even have a student arriving tonight at 10:30 from Slovenia.
Oh, my goodness.
And he's going to be attending the digital multimedia course.
Okay.
So, again, a number of training opportunities are available that students can put in for through their security assistance folks, through the embassy, to apply here for courses. But, again, we've got about 12 courses available that they can come in and participate.
Okay, amazing. So you mentioned PACIS, and that's obviously what you teach, Mr. Lehman, as well as many other courses here in the schoolhouse. So tell me, what is PACIS?
Well, so as Rivers was alluding to, DENFOS is really the only institution of its kind in the entire world. So there was a lot of demand for from foreign partners and allies to send their officers to DINFOS. And to accommodate the demand, the decision was made to create what we call like the flagship international course, which is PACIS.
Yeah.
And that is the a 5-week course where we bring students with very little public affairs experience and we run them through a battery of exercises, performance exercises, teach them skills ranging from crisis communication to social media strategy to developing communication plans and message development plans so that they can give effective responses during interviews. Mm-hmm. And you know, we are a tactically oriented course, which basically means that we want students to come here, learn how to be a press officer, to give effective interviews representing their command. And so they will, in those 5 weeks, they will complete close to 20 different performance exercises, running from print interviews to on-camera recorded interviews to live television studio interviews, press conferences, staff briefings, radio interviews, which we use the radio studios in at DINFOS. So they come and they become very skilled public affairs officers, and it's a really enriching program that we have at DINFOS.
You said something interesting I want to touch on with regard to the level of experience students come into this course with. So these aren't students that are necessarily doing public affairs or have public affairs training from their current military in their foreign country. They're coming into this program with no prior public affairs experience. Is that correct, or is it
a mix? Mostly that is the case. I would say 95% of the students do not have prior public affairs experience. Mm-hmm. However, we have had the outliers, the exceptions, and we have had, for example, we had a public affairs a student that came in from South Sudan. This is a while ago when South Sudan became independent country. I think that was in 2011. Mm-hmm. This individual was the spokesperson for the rebel movement in South Sudan during the war in that country, and he was slated to be the minister of information at the new government in South Sudan, and so he was going to set up the public affairs operation for the Ministry of Defense, and he came to DINFOS to learn how to do that.
Wow.
We've also had a colonel from Nigeria, Colonel Sagir Musa, you remember
right.
him?
Absolutely.
Who was slated to become the director of the Nigerian Army Public Affairs Directorate. So this the Nigerian Army is one of the largest land forces on the African continent, and he came to DINFOS to learn additional skills. So we do have people that have had some experience, but mostly, yes, it's for students that don't have public affairs experience.
Okay, interesting. So what are some of the most significant assignments that international students will face when they get into your program?
So as I mentioned, they run a battery of, we run a battery of performance exercises. And these, in addition to those performance exercises, they have to do crisis communication plans, regular communication plans, social media strategies. And it all culminates in what we call the capstone project, which is the comm plan.
Yeah.
We ask students when they first arrive, we ask them to tell us what are some of the communication challenges that their commands are facing, challenges or opportunities or problems mm-hmm. that they're facing. And we will help them develop a plan during these 5 weeks to address that challenge. And that's the capstone. And we have had some really significant, we've helped students come up with some very significant comm plans. For example, we had a Ukrainian lieutenant a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. right when Russia was invading. He came and he decided that he was going to come up with a plan to target the populations in southern Ukraine, in the Odessa region, to help them identify Russian misinformation and Russian propaganda and what to do when they do encounter Russian propaganda. So that was a comm plan that he developed with our assistance. Mm-hmm. We've had a Japanese major that came in 2 years ago, and he was stationed on a new military base, Japanese military base in, mm-hmm. in Ishigaki Island, which is a remote island close to the Taiwanese, close to Taiwan and close to the close to China. And as you know, that's an area with increased volatility. And so Ishigaki Island has a population that is not familiar with the Japanese military, yet they were building this base on that island. Mm-hmm. So he built a plan to help the public familiarize themselves with the Japanese military, basically a communication, a community relations plan.
Yeah.
So this is really about DINFOS helping to make real positive, impactful change around the world.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds like it. So, you know, generally speaking, though, has the course been successful in its effort and was trying to achieve?
Undoubtedly and demonstrably, I think it has been absolutely successful.
Yeah.
And there are various metrics by which we can measure that. First and foremost is the after course evaluations that the students are asked to provide. This is done for all DINFOS courses.
Yeah.
But in the international course, we ask students, would they recommend this course to their colleagues?
Mm-hmm.
And in the last several years, that number has been 100%. So 100% of all graduating students would recommend this course to one of their colleagues. Another measure of success is the fact that the countries that send their officers to our course continue sending officers. So they're the repeat countries. We have Brazil, mm-hmm. Italy, the Philippines. They receive these well-trained students that return to their country. They see what they get, and they send additional officers. So based on the number of repeat countries, we know it's a successful program. And finally, I would say that something that makes our course unique is that mm-hmm. on the second day of our course, we will put these students, brand new students, prior to any training, we put them in front of a television camera and make them do a television interview.
Okay.
And it's a little bit bumpy. We put them out of their comfort zone.
Yeah, of course.
But then we will compare that performance. We record it.
Yeah.
And then we compare it to their final interview, which is here at the DINFOS studio for a live television studio. And we record that. And on the final day, we sit down with each student and we compare their performance during the second day with their performance on the final day.
Wow.
And it is night and day. So on various levels, it's clear that it is a successful program.
It sounds like it.
Yeah, and I would also add, as the MSO, I get a ton of anecdotal information by way of the social media aspect. And so, by and large, very positive, and they keep me up to speed on their endeavors back in their home station. So, again, a lot of anecdotal stuff. And, you know, we have a great program, great school, so we're very excited about that.
Well, that's great to hear. And speaking of social media, we actually have a question from social media. Will Mosley writes, what have international students taught you about yourself, the military, or the public affairs community?
You know, one of the things we endeavor to do is increase the interaction that our international students have with American students that are at DINFOS. Because the reality is, although they're learning from us, there is a lot for our students, our American students, to learn from them.
Yeah.
We had, for example, Sagir Musa. I'll use him as an example.
Mm-hmm.
He was dual-hatted when he was a student at DINFOS for our PACIS course, and he was the spokesperson at the time for the chief of staff of the Nigerian Army.
Yeah.
And he was balancing his student responsibilities with his spokesperson responsibilities, and a crisis broke out. Where someone with a huge Twitter following in Nigeria accused his chief of staff of corruption in a tweet, which had a lot of interaction, and so he asked the instructors, "Hey, what do I do with this tweet? They're accusing my boss of being corrupt." And so we used that as a case study, and we created right there on the spot in real time a media operations cell with all of the students that we had to help him devise a strategy. We had the Italian colonel at the chalkboard designing social media strategies. We had the Ukrainian coming up with a message development plan.
Wow.
And he used the plan that the students did in real time to address this crisis that he was confronted with. So it is a learning opportunity for the international students, but also for the American students.
Yeah. How about yourself, Mr. Johnson?
Well, what I've learned from students, one is patience, because I do their life cycle management.
Sure.
But from a public affairs perspective, you know, I was interacting with one of the students, and so I quickly learned that not all countries do public affairs the same way.
Right.
And so it was one of those aspects where, you know, I had to kind of explain how we do public affairs. We just don't stop the media from communicating. I mean, it's you know, we just don't do that.
Yeah.
And so it was one of those factors where I was teaching him how to be you know, proactive, but yet still operate within the realm of what he had to do. But again, he quickly pointed out if the media said something bad, they would just shut him down. And I said, well, you know, we have free speech here in America, and unless it's detrimental to, you know, some things, that we don't do that. Here's how we deal with it.
You know, and I'll add to that. Many countries do not have a robust public affairs program.
Right.
They really don't. And in fact, they try to hide information.
Sure.
And, you know, the American approach, which has been successful based on polling with the American public, where they see the American military as one of the most respectable public organizations in the country.
Right.
The fact is that we provide facts. We are as transparent as we possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
And that is almost a surprise to many of these countries. We take them to the Pentagon, for example, and they see at the Pentagon the media corps that has their offices right inside of the Pentagon, and they have all access badges. They can walk around all over the Pentagon without a caretaker, and it really is mind-blowing to many of these students. And they return to their countries with this idea that, you know, it is really beneficial to be transparent to our publics. Ultimately, the public pays our bills, and they have a right to know what the military is doing. That's our approach. The international students have to learn that, and hopefully they bring that to their country, that posture to be transparent to that to their countries. And it really helps the democratic process, and it really helps the reputation of the military, really.
Absolutely. How many students are in the PACIS program?
We generally have between 12 and 16 students every iteration.
Okay. So you have 12 to 16 students, all from different countries, right? I imagine they all have different cultural backgrounds, different cultural norms associated with their countries. So how do you manage all of these different cultures being in one place and trying to instruct them from, you know, obviously the American perspective?
You know, fantastic question, because as you know, as a PAO, everything that we do in public affairs is cultural.
Yeah.
The way we talk, the way we speak is learned through our culture. Our body language, our communication style, our writing,
mm-hmm.
it's all cultural. So it's very difficult for DINFOS to accommodate all these countries. Some come from countries that have a high context culture. Some are from low context culture, like the American culture. And so it is challenging, but the first step really is to teach the curriculum in a culture neutral way, which is kind of difficult because it is instinctual for us to go in there and use American idioms during instruction or metaphors, and when we try to strip that out, like for example, instructors try to avoid using Americanisms such as, break your leg, or this assignment is a piece of cake. You can't speak in those ways. So now I can't guarantee we're foolproof at that, but we do try to control the way we teach and make it as culturally neutral as possible. The other thing we do is we strip out parts of the PA that are really heavily cultural dependent. Like for example, writing. Writing styles is cultural. In the United States, we are very direct, we're concise, we're clear, we're crisp, we do bottom line up front. We use AP style, right? And so that's not something that they do necessarily in other countries. So we don't really teach writing. They do have writing projects, but we don't grade their comm plan writing, for example. The only writing assignment we give them is a media, a press release, you know, because press releases is a critical tool in our kit of public affairs officers.
Sure.
And we teach it the American way, bottom line up front. And really, journalists around the world want the meat up front. They want the information up front. They don't want that much fluff. So we teach it the American style. But we're careful to tell them, listen, this is the way it works for us. This is what we've learned throughout the years. It's not necessarily the best way to do it. So go to your country, use the skill that we're teaching you, and tailor it to your culture. Tailor it to a way that is effective for your command and in your country.
Absolutely. Can you clarify for those in our audience who might be unfamiliar, what's the difference between high context and low context?
So that's interesting. So high context cultures are cultures where you require a significant degree of knowledge of the context within which that the communication is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Japan, for example, really high context culture. A lot of Asian countries, high context cultures. The American culture and other Anglo-Saxon cultures are considered low context, which means you don't really need to know the context to understand what is being said.
Okay.
We mean what we say what we mean, it's very clear, it's very to the point,
mm-hmm.
we don't have to read between the lines.
Okay.
Right?
Got it. Totally understand. So, you know, you've already mentioned some amazing experiences you've had with some of your students, but are there any other memorable experiences you'd like to share with us today with your international students?
Well, I had one. It was wasn't funny at the time, but it's funny now.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, I have this internal policy. I always pick up my students at the airport.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was picking up a student coming from the Middle East, and it literally took him 3 hours to get through customs.
Wow.
And of course, was kind of wondering. Of course, he had a passport, his ID card, and his invitational travel order. His name was Muhammad Ali. And so we figured that that was probably, one of the many names that they check. And so it's funny now when I think about it. But again, just those cultural issues that you have to deal with.
Absolutely.
I would say also some of the more memorable parts of our course happen off campus.
Okay.
One of the things we like to do is we like to take advantage of the fact that the Defense Information School is located 30 miles from Washington, D.C., where mm-hmm. we have all the embassies of every country in the world.
Yeah.
And so one of the things we like to do for this course is bring these students to visit these embassies and learn from the ambassadors and the military attachés. So for example, mm-hmm. last year we were invited to the Japanese embassy, where the Japanese military attaché talked to us about how the Japanese government approaches public affairs and what public affairs means to the Japanese military.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the Royal Embassy of Jordan, where the Jordanian military attaché spoke to us about what public affairs means to Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
We were also at the North Macedonian Embassy, where we spoke to the ambassador. And finally, a couple of years ago, we went to the Ukrainian embassy, where the Ambassador Marikova,
mm-hmm.
spoke to us about the importance of public affairs. And she said that, and this was really memorable, she said that the work that public affairs officers do in the information environment is mm-hmm. actually oftentimes more important than what is happening on the battlefield.
Wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, it really impressed upon us the vital importance of public affairs and really the role that DINFOS plays in strengthening the public affairs capabilities of our allies and partners.
Wow, absolutely. Well, if someone from a foreign country was watching our program right now, a foreign military, and they wanted to attend DINFOS and attend one of our programs, what should they do?
Well, several things. So they could contact, again, the training folks within their unit to contact the security cooperation folks at the U.S. Embassy overseas,
mm-hmm.
and then that starts the process. They can also call me. My phone number was up earlier, but they can go to the DINFOS website,
mm-hmm.
click under International tab, Reporting Instruction, and then it provides all the information that you need to apply to include my contact information as well.
Okay.
I think it's important, as Rivers was alluding to, these students, the Americans have an embassy in every country in the world,
mm-hmm.
and each embassy, as he was saying, has a security cooperation office. So they have to, through their channels, reach out to the Security Cooperation Office at the American Embassy in their countries and let them know they're interested in public affairs training.
Okay, great.
Because the process is very lengthy. It takes about 6 months to a year because of the language requirements, the vetting procedures, medical. So again, the quicker they can do that, the better chances are they having, to get through the course.
Right, absolutely. Now, of course, I know all of these courses take place here in America, in the DINFOS building, but if for whatever reason students can't get here, are there other options or alternatives that we can provide training to those foreign students?
Well, we have a very robust mobile training team, and, mm-hmm. and when I mean robust, we get requests all the time. I personally participated in 3 training missions to Ukraine, where we probably trained about 300 students, and that was very very important for us because Ukraine, prior to operations, of course, they were one of our largest in-resident customers for the most part. And that may change in the future. But again, Mel Witherspoon is our MTT coordinator, and I know for a fact she's busy. And so
That's
we
right.
train all over the world because, in fact, again, as I mentioned before, we are the premier training institute for public affairs and audiovisual. People want to come here and people want us to export our training because it's valuable and important.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And is there any kind of distance or virtual training option as well, or is that maybe something perhaps down the road?
No, we've done virtual. Yeah, virtual is an option as well as in person in residence as well.
Okay, great. Good to hear. Well, thank you so much for your time, gentlemen. Before we say goodbye to you, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I'd like to add that one thing. First of all, for the Hall of Fame program, If you have someone out there that you're considering, please go to our website, get the information, submit people that are worthy of being part of the DENFOS Hall of Fame program. And also for our international partners, if you want to come to DENFOS, go to the website, call me personally. We would love to have you train here at the Defense Information School.
And I'd say just to come full circle, you know, this is a critical program, this international program, because
Absolutely.
If you look at the national military strategy, the national defense strategy, our national security strategy, one of the things that those documents have in common is the critical importance of helping our partners and allies train, mm-hmm. and also important is giving opportunities to our American personnel to train alongside international personnel.
Yeah.
And that is what the public affairs course for international students is exactly what is DENFOS's contribution, I should say,
yeah.
to meeting and achieving our nation's security strategies.
Excellent. All right. Well, again, thank you both for taking time out to be on our show. Really appreciate it. And I also want to thank, of course, all of you for watching our show today and stopping by and asking your questions and sharing your information. And I, of course, want to let everybody know that if they're interested in watching our show, then, of course, they can tune in here, but they can also listen to our show as a podcast. Just tune in to your podcatcher of choice and search for DENFOS Live. Now, join us next month for another exciting episode of DENFOS Live. And for everyone here at Defense Information School and also the Defense Media Activity, I'm Major David J. Murphy, and we'll see you all next month. Bye, everybody.